Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Today, I want to pick up the first reading that we're given at Mass today from the first letter of St. Peter. It's the first chapter. And over the years, I've had the joy of being able to just draw out some of Peter's teaching from this first letter, which is just filled with gold from beginning to end. And what you see is a shepherd, a pastor, who is writing a letter to churches that are small, young. You know, they're under pressure, they're under persecution, great trial. And it's so good for us to be able to read these because the people of God can be built up by like direct teaching from the major apostle Peter about the instruction and the help and the encouragement that he gave to those brothers and sisters who had come to the Lord, who were converted, and were experiencing being marginalized and struggling in a pagan culture, struggling with a pagan culture, let me put it that way, experiencing what the scripture talks about quite often, about Jesus himself said, in this world you'll have tribulation. So this community was clearly experiencing tribulation and trial. And you see the perspective of the pastor, St. Peter, and what he's putting his finger on, and how amazed and kind of wide-eyed he is about the amazing work which God is doing in those who've come to faith. And I think what we see both in Peter in terms of how he teaches, instructs, and leads them is great for any priests who are listening or bishops or leaders in the body of Christ to see the way in which he speaks to them, what he's identifying in them, how he identifies the work of God in them to build them up. But also for those of us who are not in that kind of a position, just to see how powerful God's presence is, how faithful the Lord is, what the Lord desires to do, wants to do, can do, and is willing to do with those who turn their hearts radically to him, no matter what the circumstance they're in. So we'll begin with verse 3. It reads like this, said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So this is, again, chapter 1. Verse 3 and following. He said, "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that is perishable even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, yet you believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of faith, the salvation of your souls." It's just so rich. Let's take this kind of line by line if we could. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter begins the letter, as he often does, praising God, giving thanks to God, first turning to God and exalting the Lord with a sense of wonder and joy and confidence as children of God. And he's about to rejoin. He's blessing the Lord because what he's seen the Lord do in those they have brought to faith, those who've come to believe in Jesus, the new converts in these young communities. And he begins to declare right away. First of all, he's the Father. God is our Father. And he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And as Peter's exalting, he says, through Jesus, what has happened? He says, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope. We're born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus those beautiful words when he said that unless a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit. Christianity is a new birth. Jesus came to make it possible for human beings to be born again into a new reality, a new way of living out our humanity, a new way of being human, a new way of being united to God, who in his great mercy, of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not die, but have everlasting life. God's mercy has come. God, who is rich in mercy, Paul says, out of the great love with which he loved us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to us and he offered us this gift of salvation and new life. Salvation is this new birth into Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope. And we talk a lot on this program, especially the last couple of years with the challenges that we're facing in the culture and in the church and the rest, and this, the upheaval that we're enduring and the pressures and the stresses in the nations that are there. And we try to talk a lot about hope here on this program and other programs at Renewal Ministries, because hope is a critical piece. The whole faith is built on what? Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But these three, these theological virtues that God gives us in baptism, the Lord gives us this grace to believe, to surrender, to see, not only see the Lord, to believe in him, believe in what he has said to us, what he's revealed to us. We articulate in the creed, but also to give us the confidence in the heart to surrender to him in a relationship of deep, profound trust, total abandonment, where we make that exchange. We come out of the world. Scripture says the call is to be in the world, but not of the world. We no longer live under the domination of the powers in this world that are inconsistent with God's purpose and plan. And we no longer live under the rule and the kingdom of darkness and the kind of attitudes and political orientations and things in the world that direct the world in a way that lives as if God doesn't exist, right? And leads in a way as if God doesn't exist. And what we receive in this grace of God is to be able to, in faith, is to be able to stay in the world, obviously, but seeing the whole thing, the whole of creation, the whole world, the whole reality, my life, every life differently now. I see everything through a lens of faith. And faith is not just an emotion. It's not just a personal feeling of some kind. What it is, it's a response to objective truth that God himself has communicated to us, and then the power and the grace to be able to live a life that's surrendered to the person that has been revealed, and that's Jesus. He's the word from the Father. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And that faith gives us power to conquer, Scripture says, all the powers that are set against us, because we're living a new reality. We've stepped into the kingdom of God. And we know now that there's a new reality in us. It's not just a set of ideas or philosophies that we're clinging to and kind of holding in our mind. Something happened to us in baptism when we were born again and a new relationship with God. We become temples of the living God. We become children of God. And there's a power in us, as John the Apostle said, we've been given power to become something we had no power on our own to ever reach. What is that? He gave us power to become children of God, to enter the family of God. The beginning of the new creation already at work in us, the kingdom in us, temples of God. So all of that's there in the new birth that Peter's thinking about, and faith is the doorway there, the grace that God gives us to step into it. And then hope is that confidence that the direction I've stepped into, the revelation that I've come to see through the gospel that I've been given access to, gives me a profound confidence that I'm going to reach my destiny by God's grace. And my life has a direction. I'm moving toward an ultimate goal. And Peter will expand on that now. So again, just that first sentence, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, despite what I had a professor one time, theological professor, who told our class, Jesus didn't physically rise from the dead. Despite that, Paul said, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our faith is in vain, because it's the very victory over death. When Jesus entered new life and rose by the power of God and began the new creation. So that's the source of our hope, the resurrection of Jesus. Without the resurrection of Jesus, humanity has no hope at all. And then that being born anew to a living hope, that new creation, Peter says, it leads to an inheritance, which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And everything in this world is perishable. Everything in this world is some way fallen, therefore defiled, and it's fading. Even I'm fading. My biological life and yours were fading. But he said this inheritance is kept in heaven for us. The best place to have an account, an inheritance, is with God. Why? Because by God's power, it's being safeguarded through faith for a salvation to be ready to be revealed in the final time when Jesus comes again in glory and all will be fulfilled in him. And he said, in this we rejoice, although now for a little while you may suffer various trials. You know, Peter has the same attitude that Jesus had toward this fallen world that we inhabit. He's not surprised. He knows. He'll say later in the letter, don't be surprised by the fire. Or why are you surprised that this fiery ordeal, this trial has come upon you? Some people were surprised. Just like Jesus, Peter said, in this world, we're going to have tribulation and we're going to face trials. But then he goes on to say, even though you're suffering various trials, your faith is being purified in that suffering because it requires you not just to follow the Lord because the circumstances of your life are all working out. And everybody likes you. Everything you're touching is working out. You're prospering in every way in the world. That doesn't always happen. Look at all the apostles. Look at the prophets. Look at the Lord himself. So the Christian has the mind, like St. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to have next to nothing and I know how to have plenty. But he said, what I've learned through it all is that I've learned the secret of contentment. To him who is the source of my life, I have strength for everything. I'm going to be okay. As Jesus said in the gospel, he said, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious about your life. Your heavenly Father knows everything you need. That's exactly what Paul is expressing, what he came to understand. And so here, Peter's saying that your faith through trials and difficulty is being purified because you keep trusting. The trust goes deeper. It's not just resting on positive experiences and an easy path, but allows us to go deeper and deeper and put our flesh to death and to fall more deeply in love with Christ. And he said, so that he may prove to be for the praise and glory and honor of God at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this faith, which is being purified, will give glory to God when he comes, because the work of Jesus will be manifested in us. And he'll see it, and the Lord will acknowledge it, and everyone will be able to see what the Lord himself has done in us. Maybe the most beautiful part of this whole text is where Peter then says, although you have not seen him, you love him. Peter saw him. He saw Jesus, walked with them. He loved them. And Peter's kind of marveling here. That's how I see it. Kind of marveling at the way in which, even though they never physically met him, they're deeply in love with Jesus. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You've got that deep trust. And your life is characterized by an indescribable and glorious joy. And you have the goal of your faith in mind. And Peter's rejoicing with them. But friends, look, people living through tribulation and trial, what does Peter see in this community? Indescribable and glorious joy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to the full. I've come to give you full joy. So if we're not experiencing that life of Christ and that joy, something's wrong. So you need to ask the Lord, go to the Lord, ask him for what he wants to give us, the same grace he's given to these brothers and sisters. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.